Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter, the following words. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they had said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." This is the text. You may be seated. The epistle and the gospel reading give us clear evidence of God's love. The things that God does through his people and the things that God does through his son Jesus. First, the apostle Paul tells the Corinthians that since they excel in faith, in love, in spiritual zeal, so they should also excel, like the churches in Macedonia had, in the art of supporting one another, those that are in need. That's evidence of God's love at work in people's lives. And the other one is Jesus talking to a dead girl, and she responds. The words of our text were spoken to a father that had just gotten the news that his little daughter had died. I cannot imagine what that must have felt like. And then the words of Jesus, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Just believe. And I don't think that Jesus was standing like this next to that father. I think that he put his hands on that father's shoulder. Do not be afraid, just believe. Where Jesus is, there is no fear. There is no space for fear, because Jesus takes away all our fear, all our bad things. Where he is, there is freedom. Freedom from death, freedom from the original sin, freedom from actual sin, freedom of any type of fear that might assault the soul or the mind. The work God does through us is the theme of 2 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul tells us to keep on doing the good things, because they are evidence of God's love for the world. The work God does through Jesus is the same. Jesus halts, first of all, a devastating illness. A woman with hemorrhage. She had spent all her means in doctors and was not any better. She was desperate. But she knew one thing, that this teacher that had appeared in the roads of Galilee, that he had power, that he taught with authority, and what he said happened. She probably heard that he had been at a wedding in Cana and transformed wine or water into wine. She had heard about his miraculous signs. And she had faith in this teacher, this new rabbi. And if I only touch his cloak, I'll be good. That's how powerful he is. That is faith, my friends. That is to trust. That is not just to articulate your faith with your mouth, but that is believing. Your life depends on this. And she believed, and she went and touched him, and she was healed. While Jesus still was talking, some people came from Jairus' house. "Your daughter is dead." And Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, just believe." Faith makes you one with God. When you believe in faith, you are connected to God. And those connected to God lose all fear. And when you have no fear, your mind is free to pay attention and to think of other things, of profitable things, of positive things, of building each other up, of serving one another in love, and proclaiming the gospel for the salvation of all throughout the world. Do not be afraid, just believe. Just believe. Jesus speaks to the dead girl, and she responds. And he is so warm in it. If he had just spoken the word from way back there, hey, little girl there, get up, it would have happened. But he comes, shows compassion, goes into the ruler's house of the synagogue, leader of the synagogue's house, and speaks not in the high, educated, academic Hebrew. He lowers himself to speak the vernacular of the people, a dialect of Hebrew called Aramaic, developed around Aram. Aram was up there by Damascus. And that's what they spoke in the homes. And he doesn't say Talita Kumi, which would be the Hebrew. He says Talita Kum. Arise. Isaiah, who wrote in Hebrew, high academic Hebrew, wrote, Arise and shine. Your son has come. Kumi. Kumi, your son has come. Well, this little girl heard the word of her Creator, for Jesus was with God in the beginning, and she obeys. She gets up. And then another fuzzy, warm touch of how Jesus is personal and caring for us. Had he just made her well, that would have been something very big. But then he adds the touch of love. Since she has been sick, she hasn't been eating, she must be hungry. Give her something to eat. Get her a sandwich and a glass of milk. Get her something. She must be hungry. This little girl is represented in many little girls and boys in the world today that are dead in their trespasses. And you and I possess the word that the spiritually dead hear. And we tell them, Talita kum, ish kum, isha kum, men and women, get up. Here is the word of life. Jesus has died already for you. Now you can focus on living and not on dying and dealing with the fear that is in the shadow house of death. Your light has come. Get up. So Jesus does spiritually today what he did physically 2,000 years ago. He tells a little girl to get up. Now he tells little boys and girls throughout the world to get up through you and me. And I am overjoyed because while preparing this message last Monday, the treasurer reported that the total sum of our gift to Concordia Publishing House in Brazil, which was the special missions theme for the first 3 months of this year, added up to $13,561. That's good stuff. That's good news. That's evidence not of our goodness, but of God's love for His people, for all the little Talitas around the world. In Brazil, they are developing at Concordia Publishing House an electronic coach that teaches the Bible stories to the children that are in this electronic age of ours. That's beautiful. That's God's love at work through you and me. But you and I couldn't do it without God loving us. So we are excelling in this grace of giving. That's beautiful. That's good. Jesus continues to work through you and me. When people are set free from guilt and sin, and ultimately of any type of fear, the sky is the limit. Actually, there is no limit because we go into eternity. We know that we will face the shadow of death, that which looks like death, and that's things. But we will not fear. We will not despair. We will not think that this is the end because it is not. Our narrative goes through death into eternal life. We will have to sleep for a little while. Just as Jesus said, she is sleeping. And they laughed at him. Who were they? The professional criers. When somebody died, according to Jewish tradition, they would contract with people that would come in and cry professionally. And that's how in one breath they can change from crying into laughing. She is not dead. She is asleep. Jesus speaking. And they laughed at him. And he threw them out. We will die physically. That's part of God's plan for us. And then we will, in God's eyes, really fall asleep. And they'll put us in a place called cemetery. And we want that. We want our rest at the end of a long and tiresome day. So much so that cemetery is looked at by Christians as God's sleeping bedroom, as God's sleeping quarters. Sema is bed in Latin, and cemeteria, sleeping quarters. The Roman soldiers called their barracks cemeteria. Guess who was afraid to go to the cemeteria? No one. At the end of a long day, they wanted to go and sleep in their beds, in their semas. So we continue to proclaim because we are freed from all that fear. And we want to go to sleep eventually. But as long as we are here, let's continue to excel in faith and in spiritual zeal and in the art and the grace of giving, because God has enabled us to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.